This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 23rd day of March 2011, and today I'm talking to Philip White of the Citizens Nuclear Information Center at cnic.jp. Philip White, thank you very much for joining us today on the program.
You're welcome.
Well, perhaps you could start by telling us a little bit about the Citizens Nuclear Information Center and the work that it does.
CNIC is an NGO based in Tokyo, which was founded in 1975 by a few scientists with background in the nuclear field. And we have been calling for a phase-out of nuclear energy in Japan. We particularly focus on providing science-based information to the public. We also are involved in campaigning, policy advice, and we also get out on the streets occasionally, but that's not our... We very much try to provide support for other groups who are more into the direct action approach.
I see. So you're primarily involved in distributing information to the public, and of course right now the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear crisis is one of the main concerns at the moment. What can you tell us about that and the work that you've been doing spreading information about that crisis?
Yes, well, CNIC has a network of scientists and engineers who cooperate with us on various issues, and some of those have actually worked in the... have been involved in designing nuclear power plants in Japan, and at some stage or other in their life they saw the light and decided that this was a fairly dangerous way of generating energy, and they have become critics of the nuclear industry, and they have provided analysis through live broadcasts that we've been putting out through the internet ever since the accident occurred. We've put out several a day in Japanese, and a few of them have had interpreting in English. So if you go to our website, you'll actually be able to find some of these experts speaking with English interpreters. And we've had an enormous response from the public. Nearly a million people have seen our website, seen our videos altogether so far. And I think that there's a lot of mistrust of what the government and the mainstream media are putting out, and so we have been able to provide an alternative source of information which our viewers evidently trust very well.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the things that that the center is talking about. For example, recently on March 20th, there was a statement released concerning evacuation from the area surrounding the Fukushima Daiichi power plant, and basically a recommendation for at least a 30-kilometer complete evacuation, and even further if people are contaminated with significant amounts of radioactive materials. What prompted that statement?
Well, there's... from a very early stage, it was clear that this was going to be a serious accident, and that the 20-kilometre evacuation zone might have been okay at the time, in the sense that the doses that were being received at that stage were not that high, but it wasn't ever going to be feasible in the long term, certainly considering some of the possible scenarios. And the idea of the government just seemed to be reacting rather than being proactive and trying to get people to a safe place. I think that there are certain problems that they face that we acknowledge, and that is that in the midst of an earthquake, there are lots of logistic issues. There are also issues of a panicked population is not easy to manage. But firstly, that's not really an excuse for them, because they created the situation by putting nuclear power plants where earthquakes were likely to occur. And this was a scenario that we had been warning of for years and years, and it had completely fallen on deaf ears. Their emergency preparations were only for an 8 to 10 kilometre surrounding area. So all along, their hot focus has been not panicking the public for the wrong reasons. Okay, it's not good to have a panicked public at this stage, but their motivation was always to protect the image of the nuclear industry. And even now, after this, although you would have thought the nuclear industry had no image to protect anymore, they are still, we think, thinking of the image of the industry, so that there are sort of evacuations going on within that nearer area, 20 to 30 kilometre area, where they haven't fully evacuated people. But I don't think they want to make the statement 30 kilometres or 40 kilometres or whatever, because the wider that area gets, somewhere in the future, the worse it's going to look for the industry. And, I mean, you're getting back to your original question. I mean, the dangers there are particularly vulnerable groups of people. For example, pregnant women with young children who are more susceptible to radiation. So those have to be a priority, and I think probably some efforts have been made in that regard. I'm not exactly sure where it's up to now, but the levels of radiation have also been rising, so it's... well, quite high readings have been recorded here and there, so it's probably not even safe to be there for an extended period of time now, I don't think. So it's really extraordinary that they have dragged the hill so long.
Well, can you speak to the transparency or lack thereof of the Tokyo Electric Power Co. that owns and operates the plant in providing information about their efforts to keep this these reactors from melting down, and also the effectiveness or lack thereof of the government in communicating the dangers of this situation?
They have provided a good deal of information, but not necessarily anywhere near enough. There were things that we were particularly our experts were wanting, such as real-time information about the radioactive releases and the radiation and what the monitors were reading, real-time information about the pressure of the vessel and various other technical details, the status of various aspects of the plant. And so the information was quite limited. The other thing about it was that it was always couched in terms of, and this is no immediate harm to your health. Now, there's one little catchword in there that makes it sort of technically accurate, the word immediate. But in the early days, they weren't even using that word. They're just saying there's no harm to your health. But the point is that the levels of radiation that were getting out were such that in the long term, it was potentially injurious, but not in the sense of acute radiation sickness, but in terms of cancers developed down the track, it's quite likely that there would be some elevated incidence of cancer at some point in the future. But they have continually downplayed this aspect. They've also continually downplayed the potential worst-case scenario. And all of this is ostensibly to avoid panic, but it's also to protect, as I said in the first place, the image of the industry. So there are various areas in which we are dissatisfied. But getting back to the point about this incredibly difficult situation of having an earthquake, a tsunami, and a nuclear disaster all rolled into one, that does put limits on the amount of information that they can provide. I mean, there's some things that they just don't know about what's going on in their plant. There are logistical problems about moving people and all sorts of peculiar things that are peculiar to this situation. But that situation was one thing they were warned about, and they took no measures to prevent it occurring.
Well, you raise the specter of the worst-case scenario, and obviously we're still in the midst of this crisis and we haven't gotten there yet, but what is the possible worst-case scenario for this type of situation, and what would be likely to occur in that case?
People often compare it to Chernobyl. There are certain differences and the nature of the problem, of the way it's likely to unfold is probably different. The most notable difference being that Chernobyl had a whole lot of graphite there used to moderate the reactor, and that all went up in smoke and kept burning for a long time and spreading material a long distance. In this case, there is no graphite, but it's conceivable that you could get explosions, and that's still possible, that you could get explosions, steam explosions. There have been hydrogen explosions already. It's not impossible, and even the power company has admitted that it's not impossible to get the reactor going critical again, which means starting a chain reaction again, although that's an unlikely scenario. But anyway, the end result is radioactivity gets out into the environment in various ways. One is that it could be propelled out there by the explosion. Another is it can be put out there by deliberate releases of gas to relieve pressure within the reactor pressure vessel or the containment vessel. And another possibility is it sort of dribbles out, leaches out with the water they're pouring all over it to cool it down through leaks and getting into the soil and into the sea. So although the path or the means by which the material is going to get out of the environment might be a bit different from Chernobyl, and might not go as far, it still is going to go considerable distances, and there is much more radioactive material involved than in the Chernobyl case. So, I mean, without saying it's going to go this far and it's going to cause this many deaths and very specific figures like that, the way in which it can cause even more serious damage is not really being frankly addressed by the media or the company or the government.
Well, and also in the Chernobyl analogy, obviously Chernobyl was eventually brought under control by encasing the reactors in a sarcophagus, so-called, of cement. Why isn't that being done in the Fukushima case, and why are they relying on dumping seawater on these reactors?
I don't know why they have decided not to do it, but I wouldn't think that it would be a very ideal solution. I think that it has massive problems associated with it. Firstly, you've got six reactors there, so the amount of cement that you'd have to pour all over it is quite incredible. At least Chernobyl was just one plant that had gone up. Also, you've got some of this radioactivity is quite high up, like in the spent fuel pools. It's above the reactor, which was an extraordinarily stupid place to put spent fuel pools, but that's the way this reactor was designed. And so if you pour cement on it, you're likely to actually cause the building to collapse completely. And in so doing, you're going to increase the number of ways in which that radioactivity can go out. And it's unlikely that any such sarcophagus-type effort is going to encase enough of the radioactivity to be very effective. But, I mean, we're in a situation where there's no ideal solution, and at some point or other, people have to decide what's the least bad approach. And that may at one point in time be the least bad approach, but the preferable approach in theory at least is to cool the fuel with water, and by keeping it cool you can bring down the pressure and hopefully keep it under control. However, that's not something, I mean, there's a bit of an impression that's going around that, oh, they've got it under control now. That is a completely false impression. They're a long way, and there's many, many dangerous steps down the track, and it's going to take not days or weeks, but months and years, because that spent fuel and the fuel that was actually being used at the time is heat generating. It continues to generate heat. It will continue to generate heat for decades, but particularly at dangerous levels for probably years. And for all that period of time, they're going to have to keep drawing the heat away by somehow or other creating circulation of water. And while that's happening, if pressure goes up and they have to somehow or other release pressure, that'll involve releasing highly reactive gases into the environment. So it's quite likely that there'll be further releases for some time to come.
All right. Well, obviously still a very volatile situation, and some very serious developments will obviously be coming out in the coming days and weeks. So I would suggest people go to Citizens Nuclear Information Center, cnic.jp, to stay up to date with what's happening. Philip White, thank you so much for joining us today on the Corbett Report.
You're welcome.